Good evening, Seattle. Good evening, Seattle and Little Saigon. Good evening, New York City. Good evening to Chicago and Detroit. Good evening to Texas. Good evening to Mexico. Good evening to Japan and all the places in between. It is right around, I don't know, what time is it? It's right around 6:20 p.m. on Wednesday, January the 22nd, 2020. Hump day, right? Hump day. Pacific Standard Time, of course, because everything's standard here in the Pacific. Standard operating procedure, really. We're going to make sure that everything works according to the standards here in Pacific Standard Time. Yeah, there's nothing standard about Pacific Standard Time. I'm just here drinking my mountain-grown Colombian coffee grown by tiny people who live on a tiny island someplace off the coast of someplace. They're 12 inches tall, but they work hard. They gather the beans for this coffee. They don't really get paid, really. They exist under the threat of destruction. Yes, this coffee is provided by tiny people that live on an island someplace. And they gather the beans out of fear, not out of love. Yeah, so the virus is spreading. If you've tuned in to this message from Outpost Little Saigon, yes, yes, nobody trusts anybody anymore. And the virus is spreading. I went to the Chevron today. Wow, big surprise, right? I went to the Chevron gasoline shopping organic grocery mart to get my dead things in cans. And they were playing, the shopkeeper was playing Happy Happy Muslim Hate the White Guy music. I think that's what it was. Remember, folks, paranoia. And there's no way to know for sure. The virus is spreading. He gave me this look as he was listening to the MC, to the master of ceremonies, to the speaker, as he was listening to the Iman over the radio. He gave me this look. It was this look as if, time's coming, buddy. Time's coming, pal. Time's coming when we're gonna probably poison your fucking canned food. And my first response is, Why would you do that? It's already poison. And I'm likely, you know, slowly dying from the inside out because of my Chevron diet plan. The virus is spreading. The Chinese government have shut down the city of Wuhan. You know how to pronounce it? Hell, if it gets worse, you won't have to worry about that. It won't be there no more. Yes, the Chinese will probably use what's referred to as thermonuclear sterilization. A 5 or 20 megaton bomb will clean up Wuhan. And if you think that's dark as fuck, you can always blame it on the meteor. Is that a meteor I see in the sky? Are me and my Chinese family about to die? This is really sad, I'm about to cry. Wuhan. Wuhan. Wuhan's gotta go. And that's really sad. Yes, the Chinese have quarantined Wuhan. They have set up interlocking networks of tactical defenses and different types of metal wire, razor wire. I'm sure they got their own Ching Chong concertina wire, right? In fact, they probably make our concertina wire. That used to be a good American job, right? Until we let them take that fucking concertina job. We used to make the best concertina wire in the whole concertina fucking world. If people wanted to fucking, you know, take some fucking high tensile fucking metal razor wire and spools, they would contact America and we would send them spools of razor wire, concertina wire. It was known for quality. It was known for quality and capacity. Three strands and a few of those fencing posts, you know, driven down about half a meter, maybe 2 meters. That'll stop a car. At least a Toyota Corolla. Yeah, the virus is in Wuhan. Wuhan is shut down. Seattle is going crazy. Seattle is on the fever pitch of nothingness. There's a good chance the people of Seattle will be destroyed shortly after Wuhan is vaporized by the meteor. Yes, there'll be 2 meteor reports on Monday of next week. Breaking news. Seattle was just destroyed by a meteor. Please, please don't cry. Breaking news. Seattle was just destroyed by a fucking meteor shit. Please don't cry. Don't cry. Wuhan will be destroyed by a meteor, sarcastic quotes, and so will Seattle. But the virus will spread, my friends. The virus will spread because, well, yeah, the Smith family. The Smith family of Ballard neighborhood Seattle. They're already heading out of town as we speak. They'll make it all the way to fucking Oklahoma. Maybe Missouri. Maybe Tennessee. Maybe upstate New York where those fuckers live. Yeah, the Smith family made it out, so the virus is spreading. They stopped at a gas station in Spokane. Now Spokane has the fucking virus. This is terrible. This is really sad. Tragic what's going on with this virus. In fact, the more that I imagine the destruction of this virus, the more frightening it becomes. But before we go too far down the road of reporting the real-time news, and here's a little factoid you may not be aware of. Over 1 million people in King County, Washington died today from the virus. That's how bad today was. Tomorrow, probably 10 million people. Probably 10 million people will die tomorrow in Magnolia. Probably they're going to start dumping the bodies in Lake Union. They're probably just going to, like, take a fucking poop chute or a fucking dig a canal off the top of Queen Anne and just run the sewage down it to make it all slick and greasy. And then they'll just fucking push the bodies off of Queen Anne all the way down into Lake Union and maybe Elliott Bay, who knows? Maybe some other bay. It's getting bad out there. It's getting bad. Yeah, so here's another way of looking at this virus scenario, the dangerous half bat, half camel, half monkey, half chimp, half dog, half man, half not man, half hermit crab, half walrus. Whatever the fuck this virus is, it's got a lot of halves to it. Halves and, you know, have nots. Halves and have nots. Yes, this virus has a life of its own now. Yeah, so I've got another little way of looking at this bullshit I'd like you to listen to for a second. As you all well know, if you listen to my fucked up podcast, there's a couple things that are true. Number one, I'm a drifter. Yes, I'm a drifter, I'm an anarchist, and I'm a fucking shitty Christian, but I'm a Christian as well. That's one of the things you'll probably know. You'll know I live in Seattle, but not in the part of Seattle anybody likes to talk about. I live in a part of Seattle where secrets are best kept. That's where I live. But another thing you know is I talk often about what I call the great discontinuity, where anything can, should, will happen, but what's most important, the ability to make guesses, predictions, to forecast, becomes very, very difficult, maybe even impossible. And as we get close to the crescendo, like when, you know, road workers start killing their bosses with gardening trowels, or, you know, weird viruses that are monkey, pig, bat viruses that infected a bunch of Chinese people in Wuhan. So far, maybe there's, you know, 9 people dead, 14 people dead. So far, we don't know if there are any dead in the United States other than the million Seattleites that died today. Yes, a million souls were gathered by the ancient gods today from King County. It is a bloody day for the virus today. Yes, bodies were stacked everywhere. You could see French bulldogs howling and screaming the way they do. But you know, here's a what if, like I said, hypothetical. What if this is related to the crack-up boom scenario? You know, one of my basic theories in recent months has been the following. That the whole China-America trade war thing is theater. Or another way of putting it, it's like putting your hand on the fuel line. Remember, folks, you're in a Pontiac GTO. It's the world economy. Imagine it as a 1968 Pontiac GTO, but you got one problem. It's stuck in high gear. The throttle is stuck as well. You can only go 100 miles an hour, maybe a little faster, but you can't go any slower. The only way you might be able to slow down is to reach your hand down, imagining you have a 5-foot-long hand, and squeeze that fuel line. And then maybe if you squeeze the fuel line a little, you'll slow down a little. You get a little bit of that slow down, that not a recession, more like what they're calling things. Like, what are they calling things now? Manufacturing recessions. Or sometimes they'll call them, yeah, cash recessions. Or credit recessions. We just don't have normal recessions any longer. We have recessions with special names. Just like the magical winter storms we have now, too. Magical special names. So here's my theory about the virus that maybe will be proven out, maybe not. I think it is probably bullshit, a lot like the cigarette Ebola crisis of 2014. I call it the cigarette Ebola crisis because supposedly some tobacco plant, genetically mutant bullshit, chimerical crap maybe, some fucking treatment that came from tobacco helped cure people, yay. And I'm happy, listen. If cigarettes can cure Ebola, fuck, I'm gonna go buy a pack. And I gotta say, folks, in recent months, I have considered smoking cigarettes again. That is how optimistic I am about the future right now. I am at that point where they say in the old-timey movie, smoke 'em if you got 'em. In 5 minutes, we're invading Germany. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. In 5 minutes, we're setting up a base camp in Vietnam with John Wayne. Smoke him if you got him. Yeah, so anyways, imagine if this virus is total bullshit, but it's meant to be really, really theatrical bullshit. Bullshit that is so theatrical that maybe it even looks like a pandemic at first. And maybe even it racks up quote-unquote, you know, deaths, like people die. But when I say deaths, keep in mind, this is a podcast, so you can't see me holding up sarcastic, Nixon-esque, you know, sarcastic quotes, you know? Yeah, so what if this is theater? And if it is theater, it definitely fits into the crack-up boom scenario, because this is what happens. Magically, in February or March, all of this is behind us, but it creates enough of a turmoil that China can blame their recession on it, and we'll blame our recession on it, and the Europeans will blame their recession on the fucking virus, Cyrus the virus. They will blame their economic slowdowns. They will blame their credit default swaps imploding. They will blame all their bad bets in the shale patch, all those fucking junk bonds going sideways on yes, 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 the virus. And the virus will definitely serve a purpose. And so, yeah, what if that's the purpose of the virus, folks? As I hear the sirens outside, you know, sometimes I wish I had a microphone outside the window so I could pick up the city sounds and let you hear them stereophonically like I do. The sounds of an angry city. Seattle's an angry city. It's not a friendly city. It's an angry, angry, miserable, liberal, progressive, war party. We're happy that we pay our taxes, but we figure out gimmicks to get out of paying our taxes, but we love pyramid schemes involving real estate. However, we don't like homeless people. That's Seattle. Oh, yeah. And, you know, we need lots of really important Chinese and Indian engineers because, hey, who's going to write the software code for the jet airplanes? Yes, Seattle's an interesting place of contradictions. And you know what, folks? Just as a reminder, I don't hate Chinese people or Indian people. I just happen to care more about my own, just as they probably also do. It's not to say that I don't want them to be okay, but I hate to break it to you, not everyone's going to be okay. And if you go around this world, this universe, thinking you're going to save every single person on the planet from whatever, well, first figure out what you're saving them from is what I would say. What are you saving them from? Anywho, Seattle's a weird place, and if we lose Seattle to the great meteor people, cry for me. I want you to cry 17 days for me. Build a monument someplace, and I don't know. Maybe someplace in Montana. Build the monument out of obsidian. Build the monument out of volcanic glass. Honoring me and my bullshit. And what I meant to you all those special days. And then you'll be able to smile again. Then you'll be able to kiss your girl again. And let go, let go. Because of the virus. I am telling you, folks, I think the virus is probably bullshit. The best wager I can make is that it's bullshit. I am not even going to remotely entertain the possibility that it's real for at least another week or so, because real is a matter of perspective. Like, I would contend that our government is smart enough with respect to biological warfare, and so is the Chinese government. They have resources. They probably know enough about biological warfare to create what I would call nuisance weapons. Weapons that cause problems and maybe even kill a few old people, but they're mostly designed to just create paranoia. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if our government has a version of the cold that is kind of bad, but doesn't really kill you. It just spreads quickly and creates fear. You know, hey, there's a virus. It's disease X. Oh my God, Bill Gates was talking about it. We have to fucking re-engineer fucking mosquitoes, get them to bite people, and spread a fucking engineered fucking vaccine bullshit. Fuck. If we don't do this, Disease X will destroy us. Signed, Bill Gates. Well, thank you, Mr. Gates, for your magical fucking mosquitoes. But you can keep them. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know how long this podcast is going to be because, you know, we could get all jokey about it, but here's what I will tell you. There's many possibilities for this. It isn't black and white. Like, this could be a real thing. This could be a psyop with no fucking virus, just a lot of fucking bullshit. I don't know. My instincts tell me that the Chinese government and the US government are probably working together on all this trade war bullshit because, like I said, they both have their own stupid reasons for wanting to hold on to the fuel line for a little bit, to squeeze it for a little bit, to slow down that GTO maybe to 60 or even 50 miles an hour, so that when they let go, it'll seem like morning in America and morning in Beijing. For about 24 to 36 months. That's about how much more I think they can get out of this. That is when the tank is either empty or, what's more interesting, the engine explodes. And either could happen, folks. Either could happen. The virus freaks people out. The virus causes people to stop, to cancel trips, to even not to go to work. Fear of the virus could totally cause a first and second quarter slowdown so significant that when things rebounded in the third and the fourth, it'd be like, holy shit, it sucked. That virus was scary. But now we've got the reason for massive stimulus, because guess what? This will be a reason for China and the United States to do massive stimulus, helicopter money. It'll be helicopter money, like out of those big Chinooks that have dual props. Yes, the virus will they will blame if there's a recession, they'll blame it on the virus. They will print money and they'll say it's because of the virus. There'll be a massive wave of stimulus and infrastructure, and holy shit, the hospitals will get money. Believe me, my guess is the hospital bottom line will be impacted at some point in the near future by this so-called, it's not a depression or a recession. We're not calling it anything. It's a magical fucking green shoots of palooza. But whatever the fuck you want to call it, everybody's going to get some fucking cash from this. If this is what I think it could be, which is a big fucking snow job and a reason to inject massive amounts of money into the economy, then fuck. It's actually kind of smart, and it may be the way the deep state pivoted, because like I said, folks, I don't think the deep state is at war with Trump. I think the deep state is at war with you. Okay, if you want to think they're at war with Trump, fine, magical bullshit. But the fact is, the person they really hate are ordinary fucking people like you and I. We're the enemy of the deep state people. Not Donald Trump, he's okay. He's okay. Donald Trump's gonna be fine, folks. Yeah, Donald Trump is going to be fine, but you and I, we're going to get fucked. So this virus could be real or it could be bullshit, and this is kind of what I'd like to think about for a bit here. Because if it is bullshit, then it fits into the scenario of trying to, you know, fucking, inject massive stimulus from every direction into the economy for one last burst. And then what happens after that, who knows? I mean, there are lots of people who call themselves Austrians but they have an awfully fucking non-Austrian way of looking at things sometimes. And I think part of it is a lot of fucking Austrians, they sometimes get into conflict with people who genuinely believe that there are limits on how much stuff can be, taken out of the ground, how much stuff can be caught, how much stuff can be mined, how much food can be grown without destroying the topsoil. Malthus called, I think he's the one that called economics the dismal science. I could be wrong. But the thing is, Malthus proposed a very simple model. He said the world is probably finite. So, all things being equal, you are going to have opportunity costs, you're going to have choices, you don't get to have everything. The fact is, there are limits to every choice we make. A lot of Austrians want to believe that, yes, printing money is bad, but if we just magically stop it, this whole thing can unwind gracefully. And then I think there are some Austrians and classical people and more or less libertarian types who recognize that the process of unwinding this beast is going to be, well, difficult. And that's a really nice way of putting it. Like, the unwind from this could be epic, tragic, destructive. It could cause a civil war. It could really do worse given the amount of complex shit we have in the world today that kind of requires a civil society to work in order to keep that shit from either just, blowing up or worse, basically. Like, blowing up is bad, but the worse is the, polluting the earth for a million years. Like all the nuclear reactors. If we have a breakdown in civil society, I just truly don't see how you keep that shit working correctly. And all it's going to take is one or two to melt down on the East Coast, and you'll have so much panic that all the others will be gone in 72 hours because the roads will get blocked off, the airspace will become a nightmare, and people will not do their work. They won't do their job. Some people will. Some people will. I've met a few people in recent months that I believe are more or less like that Roman soldier who'd say, "I'm standing on the wall," even though every other Roman soldier has abandoned the wall. I think there are some people who will stand on the wall, and I tip my hat to their quixotic agenda. I don't think it'll do anything, but you could call that courage. But most people will abandon their posts, and that includes the people that do jobs that aren't even, you wouldn't even call them important, like delivery or logistics or truck drivers. Oh, those aren't important jobs. Well, they're kind of important if you need a truck driver to drive, I don't know, a diesel generator 500 miles so that it can power a water pump so a reactor doesn't melt down because the grid went down and there's no electricity. And guess what? You still need to run water through the reactor, and that can't stop. So, yeah, you'd say, oh, trucker's not important. All of a sudden, even the job that trucker has seems kind of important, doesn't it? So, when this thing unwinds, and on the little Saigon report, we love to talk about this dark shit. I know I promised you I'm going to do better, but I'm sucking at it. I mean, I did do a lot of writing this week. Great. And if I can get it all proofed out, maybe next week chapter one goes up and then chapter two, three, four of Little Saigon Diary, and maybe it becomes a fun thing to do that isn't so fucking serious. But I gotta say, it's difficult to avoid reality at this point. And either it's the reality you think you know or it's the reality you don't know that's about to hit you in the head. I do not know with any certainty if this virus is really a threat. It could be real and also not a threat. Like, it could be a legitimate outbreak of some fucking coronavirus, some fucking sideways bat, chimp, monkey, banana virus, who the fuck knows. It could be real and it's just not that big a deal. Like, 'cause guys, the flu kills a lot of people. So when they say it, 9 people are dead, 10 people are dead, call me when it gets to probably when it gets to 10,000. I don't want to be a dick, but call me when it gets to 10,000. Then I'd say you need to get worried. But on the other hand, I would say at 1,000, probably maybe you need to get worried. It's hard to say. It's not linear. What did we talk about in a recent podcast about nature? What's true of nature? Well, nature is not kind. Sorry, I look in the mirror every day. I know this is true. Nature's not kind. And when I look at, you know, Beans, my sister's French bulldog, I also know that nature is not kind, because nature allowed humans to breed that fucking thing into existence. Fuck you, nature. So nature is not kind. Nature is a horrid fucking bitch. But nature is also not linear. And this is part of the lack of kindness. The lack of linearity means you may think, oh, I see the slope, Dan. No, no, no. You're seeing the previews before the cliff. You're not seeing the slope. Disease, epidemics, outbreaks, they grow like compound interest. They grow geometrically. They grow exponentially, but in no way are they linear. And so here's the thing. I don't know what the magic real number is before a person would say fuck. Because one of the things about viruses you should also know, it's all about the incubation period and transmission. One of the reasons why Ebola is both scary and not is because, yes, it's scary. I mean, except for the cigarette cure, thank God for that. But Ebola is scary, but it's also fast. It's a hemorrhagic fever. It causes rapid tissue damage. And because of that, people don't get very far before they show symptoms. And the symptoms are pretty disgustingly obvious at this point. Just about everybody on planet Earth has seen a picture of someone, or at least a movie depiction, which may or may not be accurate, of someone bleeding out of their eyeballs, their orifices, their pores, basically melting. That's Ebola. But then there's something called AIDS. And AIDS is scary. I don't know, guys, I don't want to get into the whole is AIDS real or not, because, folks, I was a teenager in the 80s when the AIDS epidemic kind of impacted the general, you know, Weltanschauung of my generation, the way we looked at the world, our perspective. And it was pretty damaging, I would say, to a lot of people, not just to people in the gay community. It was damaging to everybody. It was damaging to a whole generation of people that were already confused about sex. And now all of a sudden, sex became something that could kill you and your friends and the people you love. But here's the thing about AIDS. AIDS developed slowly. It was one of the reasons why it was so insidious. It was one of the reasons why it spread so quickly, is because unlike Ebola, the symptoms didn't show up immediately. It took a while. And so one person could go around and spread the AIDS virus long before they ever started dying. That, in that sense, AIDS is scarier than Ebola. This is the thing you need to understand about epidemics. It's better if symptoms show up quickly, because you kind of want to know if a person can transmit. It's like I said, transmission. Okay? That's about, you know, whether or not you're contagious. And the problem with something like AIDS is somebody could be contagious without really showing any obvious symptoms. And the problem with the fucking flu and the cold sometimes is that you can get it and just barely have symptoms and yet at the same time be contagious and be someone spreading it. But in general, the cold and the flu, the contagious period and the period of symptoms tends to overlap. So it's not that bad, right? But what if, and this is a big horrible what if you had a version of the cold that was more like AIDS? In the sense that the symptoms showed up late or even after you became contagious. So you might be contagious for a week, but you don't end up getting really sick until day 8 or 9 or 10. Then all of a sudden you have something pretty fucking horrible. Because that particular epidemic could spread very quickly, and if that is what's going on, this is what's interesting, I think. If this is the kind of virus that this is, a kind of a transmittable but late symptom type disease or virus, if that's the general nature of it, then yeah, we could already have people basically infected in the United States and we wouldn't even know it for another week or two. And God forbid, right? God forbid if it were something not like this. Like, this could be bad. This might not be anything. And like I said, folks, I am voting for this is a psyop or bullshit, or maybe this is just the Chinese government taking advantage of something that isn't that bad, but turning it into something bad so they can say, hey, recession, economic slowdown, fuck the virus, fuck. That could be the scenario. But if it's legit, it probably isn't going to be that bad. But here's the horrible scenario. Imagine a virus like AIDS, or just imagine a cancer virus. Imagine you had a virus that could trigger essentially stage 4 cancer, multi-system, multi-tissue, essentially stage 4. Stage 4 is where one system cancer, like let's say you have bone cancer. When you're in stage 4, that bone cancer is breaking out into the body, into the liver, into the kidneys, into the lungs, everywhere. Stage 4 is where the cancer breaks out. That's not so great. It sucks. It's terrible. And people die. I don't want to go into it because it's depressing. I've seen someone die of late stage cancer. It's terrible. But let's say you invented a cancer virus. You had a virus, a cancer virus. And you could program it so that on average, the stage 4, the multi-system cancer, didn't kick in until, let's say, 2 or 3 months later. So for the first few months, you're contagious, but you're asymptomatic. You have no symptoms, no fever, no fucking nothing obvious, nothing at all, really. You could, in fact, it might even be hard to detect. Who knows? But the point is, detection is a different issue. That kind of scenario where it was 6 months, or even worse, 5 years. Imagine you developed a virus that could spread, and the death of the person didn't happen for at least 5 years, and then it was like plus or minus, right? 5 to 7 years, everybody with it dies. This is pretty dark, because for those of you that listen to this podcast, you know that I don't really trust the people who run the world. I just trust that they're maybe behaving according to some basic rules of logic. However, when I read an article about how they have magical this and magical that, like, oh, they got the 3D printer up the butt, and they think they got fusion energy, and they got robots wiping their assholes. And don't get me started on artificial intelligence and quantum computing. If they have all of these things, they don't really need us anymore. Like, at some point, we're really not necessary. In fact, if you think about it from an ecology standpoint, it's not just that we're not necessary, but we're probably causing damage. I know there are people who want to think of the planet Earth as a magical cornucopia. And what's even worse, I think there are Christians who want to claim that. That is not correct. That is heresy. This is not Eden. Okay, Eden might have been a magical cornucopia where if you drilled for oil, although why they would need to drill for oil in Eden, I have no idea. But if you drilled for oil, it just kept replenishing itself. Maybe in Eden, but on planet Earth, where we're not in Eden, where we're basically in a fallen world, which means a very imperfect world, things are probably very fucking finite. So a lot of people want to believe we can poop and destroy and dig and contaminate every fucking corner of this planet, and the planet can just instantly respond. But I've got a counter argument. We may have pooped and pissed in too many places at this point. We may have caused too much damage. Like, it might be the case that 1 billion humans is doable on planet Earth, even with technology. But 8 billion might not be. And I know some of you is like, Dan, well, you're for population control. No, I'm just not for either funding the destruction of it or funding the propagation, which means I don't want government, which means I don't want any money ever being printed to either kill people or to, you know, give them incentives to have extra babies. Both of those strategies are monstrous, and both of them are terrible. I know you say, no, Dan, having people have kids is good. No, actually, if you know for a fact that the resources are going to hit a brick wall at some point because, hey,
this isn't fucking Eden, then actually paying people to have kids is kind of fucking destructive. But it's also bad to pay people not to have kids, and it's also bad to fucking have government at all. In fact, like I've said, if you want to ask me, the number one culprit for the environmental catastrophe is government. But a lot of you folks say, no, no, Dan, you're just some crazy fucking conservative. We need more government. And all I can tell you is that more government will kill you faster. So if what you want to do is destroy human civilization, you need to have more government, bigger armies, bigger fucking prisons with bigger cameras, giant toilets we can all poop into. One of them, the first giant toilet, will be technically an area of the world that will be, how can I phrase this, repurposed. We will repurpose the Gulf of Mexico. We'll call it the giant toilet. So here's the thing. There are scary scenarios for this virus or for a virus that could be horrible. You know, I think you could argue that we're at the point now where you can design designer bioweapons, both viral and bacteriological, that could key in to certain genetic characteristics. It sounds horrible. It sounds monstrous, but it might actually exist. And if it does exist, then that too could become a thing. It saddens me. It's like I was reading today about the political fights that are going on in Israel, and specifically between Netanyahu and Benny Gantz, who I don't know who Benny Gantz is, but he sounds like a shady character. And they're talking about how they're going to each one up each other on basically encircling the West Bank. Encircling it, cutting them off in such a way that the West Bank will be a Palestinian enclave in the middle of Israel, no exit, no way to get out, basically totally controlled. And they're going to do this by taking more territory. And you can say, well, Dan, you know, I'm a Christian, and in the Bible, listen, folks, if you think you know the Bible so well that you believe it says it was okay for the state of Israel to do what it's been doing for the last 70 years, if you think you know that Bible that well, then God bless you, but I don't think you do. I really don't. So when I look at the situation, I say to myself, if the Israelis had a virus that would kill people or give people cancer or make them infertile, but only specifically if they were Palestinian, do I think the Israelis would use it? Yes, I do. And, oh, but Dan, that means you think they're like the Nazis. Listen, you need to study the state of Israel. I don't mean what God granted Jacob, who was going to be named Israel. That's not what I'm talking about. I am not talking about that. Okay? I am talking about the modern state of Israel, which probably has nothing to do with God, everything to do with not God, which means the other guy, with evil, basically. And it's one of these things where the deeper you go into it, the uglier it gets. Do I think the state of Israel, the modern state of Israel, would use biological weapons against Palestinians? Of course I do. They'll fucking shoot tank rounds at teenage kids. And you can say, well, the teenagers are throwing rocks at them. Well, you know what? They're throwing rocks at them because their land is being stolen. For decades, for years, I believed the lie. I believed the lie. You know, when I was in the service, it was like, Israel's our ally. Israel's great. Israel, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Israel, the modern state of Israel, is probably in league with Satan. And if you're an atheist, just think evil. Probably in league with some of the darkest evil you can imagine. That is way closer to the fucking truth than Israel was somehow supported by or wants or somehow gets its new land grant, the new state of Israel gets its land grant from God. It does not. and research some of the genetic studies that have been done, because one of the interesting things you'll find out about people like Benny Gantz and Netanyahu and other fucking Israelis is that genetically a lot of them aren't that fucking Jewish. And given that a lot of them genetically aren't that Jewish, and probably in terms of how they live their lives aren't that Jewish, I don't think this has anything to do with the Hebrew people. I don't think it has anything to do with Jewish people. Okay? At all. Zero zip nada. Sorry for the rant about Israel, but that's how I feel. But do I think the Israelis are behind this virus? No. Although I will say this, here's a nice little twist in the story. What if it gets bad? And then it's discovered that, nope, it's the Iranians, the Iranians. The Iranians invented a killer virus to kill people, and it somehow got out of control. The Iranians created a bioweapon, and it got out of control. Yeah. There's a nice little fucking storyline. You know, that does even better on the 6 o'clock news than tossing babies out of incubators. Nobody wants to get sick. So yeah, I don't know if the virus is real, but I can tell you that biological warfare is pretty fucking scary. One other thing too, viruses don't always work alone. And I don't mean in terms of vector. And if you don't know what a vector is a means of transmitting a virus or moving it. So for example, if a bird carries a virus that's transmittable to people, the bird becomes a vector. Malaria is carried by mosquitoes, and mosquitoes are the vector for malaria. So let's not get into vectors right now. But there are basically two, well, really not two. I would say there's four principal ways you get infected by a disease that isn't cancer. Viruses, obviously, bacteria, fungal, and single-celled and simple parasites. Those are basically, I would call, the top four little creatures. And viruses aren't technically alive in the sense that we are or bacteria are. So they're kind of like, they're part of the infectious disease line, but they're kind of in a weird category. That being said, those are the top ones, I would say. Viruses, bacteria, fungal, and basically single-celled or multi-celled parasites like amoeba. An amoeba is not a virus or a bacteria, but you can get amoeba that will fucking eat your brain. Yeah, that's gross. You can get that shit into your brain. It'll drive you insane. It'll eat everything, all your memories, all your love. Yeah, the amoebic dysentery, or just amoebas in general, grosses the fuck out of me. But that's another way. So if you wanted to, you have a nice little palette of ways to conduct biological warfare. You just don't have to use viruses. You can use bacteria. Bacteria are great because they can mass produce without a body. And they're also great because, frankly, at this point in genetic science, I think we understand them pretty well. So if you're asking me, could you engineer a bacteria that could kill a lot of people? Probably. The interesting question is, could you engineer a bacteria that would kill them slowly? The problem with the bacteria, and this is where it's different from the virus, is that even though the bacteria can invade your body, they can never really be at home in it. They're constantly doing battle, which means they're triggering your immune system. With very few exceptions, if your immune system crashes, then the bacteria can hit your ride. And this is where things get interesting, because sometimes a viral infection will set you up for a bacteriological infection. So, for example, pneumonia. pneumonia is technically a bacteria, but the viral infection can sometimes create a weakness in the body and in the lungs that normal pneumonia will latch onto. So anyways, interesting synergistics, really. Right. Synergy. Yeah. So bacteria, the question is, could you engineer a bacteria that a person could be exposed to and a person could transmit, which means that they could be contagious, but yet be asymptomatic for a period of time? I think that's hard. Asymptomatic bacteriological infections are hard. Viral is doable. Asymptomatic contagion with bacteria, if there's any smart fucking, you know, infectious disease or, experts in the topic of microbial life, I would say email me. But yeah, I would basically say the following is true. If it involves bacteria, if you're contagious, you would have to basically be symptomatic. It's hard to see an asymptomatic contagion with something like anthrax, for example. Then there's the fungus among us. And I gotta say, we're gonna go down the list really quick before we close out, because we should talk about fungal infections. Other than single-cell parasites or simple multi-cell parasites, and let's just call that the fourth category, other than those things, fungal infections scare the fuck out of me. Because basically, the way they usually will digest you is using some extraordinarily caustic, essentially, enzymes or agents for melting your flesh. So essentially, if you get a fungal infection, there's a lot of just melting of your body by the fungus to consume you. It is horrifically gross, okay? And another bad thing about the fungal infection is that your immune system sometimes can get totally confused and not even know it's, you know, in some ways the response becomes problematic. You don't even get a response until the fungal infection causes so much damage that other infections come along for the ride, and then maybe they trigger the symptoms. Fungal infections are fucking terrible. And I would say, if I was a biowarfare person, they would also be a really good candidate. Unlike bacteria, you could spread fungus all over the place without knowing you have it, and then by the time you become symptomatic, you could have infected a lot of people. So I would say the fungus in general can be more resilient in the context of the atmosphere. So when it comes to, like, when people say fomites or how do these little droplets of fucking gumbus survive, I would say fungus probably are more resilient than even bacteria, and many times more than viruses. For the most part, you can wipe out viruses with just strong light, ultraviolet light. And that's also generally true of bacteria, though they're hardier. And I would say a fungus also, but it's bacteria are the most susceptible. And when it comes to the chemistry, like using poisons, I would say the viruses in general are the easiest to get rid of, but yeah. Last but not least, single-celled or multi-celled parasites. Now, technically, you could call bacteria a kind of single-celled parasite, but we're not going to right now. So I'm talking about things like the paramecium and the amoeba, and all these little creatures, these fucking insect creatures, these worms you can get from South America. These are kind of scary too, because they can be in your body and you can be relatively asymptomatic for a long time. Like, you could, in theory, develop a single-celled parasite or worm that could infect a lot of people before anybody showed any obvious symptoms. You could be contagious, or at least spread it, right? I don't know. And I would also say this, it's a matter of what complexity gives you. You know, a paramecium or an amoeba or any of these other, like, multi-celled worms, there's more genetic real estate to work with. So you could, in theory, do way more interesting things. So it's really a question of what you're trying to accomplish. Anyways, this is a horrible conversation, given that
Given that Seattle is virtually destroyed now. Yes, a million people died today in Seattle. A million people were taken out by the virus. The fires of the dead are lighting up the night here now. Electricity is only on for 4 hours a day. It's horrific in the streets. People with flamethrowers, machine guns, machetes, bicycle chain. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, if you feel that I've given you the most accurate view of the viral crisis, the crisis of the virus, the coronavirus crisis that's going to cause you to poop out of your a-hole, bloody, bloody poop. Do you fear the virus now? Well, if you enjoy fearing the virus and you enjoy this podcast, I can tell you something. There'll be a link to Venmo and PayPal in the description of this podcast. There are also links to Venmo and PayPal on my SoundCloud homepage. If you enjoy this podcast and you have taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, if you've taken care of the things you need to take care of and you've helped out people in your life, friends, you know, family, if you've done all these things and you still have money left over, you can donate to this podcast. Like I said, links to PayPal and Venmo in the description, links on my homepage. You don't have to, though. This is not a, you have to pay or I will explode. Time's tough for too many people for some asshole to say shit like that. What I will tell you is it would be helpful, and if you have the money, it would be helpful. I would love to make a living doing something like this. I know I'd have to up my game more if I made a living doing it. I don't really want to go back to writing code. I'm kind of through with that. I mean, I don't know. If there was the right opportunity where I could write code and not be around crazy people or exposed to political correctness every 15 fucking minutes, then maybe. But that doesn't exist anymore because guess what? We're in the shady time. We're in the time of shadiness and crookedness. So for this Wednesday night, I want to wish you a great evening and thank you for traveling with me on this journey through the brokenness of my own subconscious mind. I hope you don't get sick. I hope you don't get sick, but if you do, make sure you drink some orange juice.